You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Hello and welcome to Screener Squad. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about Knock Down the House. And I'm here. My name is Alan, and let's just run through a bit of the movie. So basically, the basic idea of what this movie is it's a Netflix documentary following four Democratic women running for Congress. It's focusing on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, Amy Villa of Nevada, Cori Bush of Missouri, and Paula Jean of West Virginia. And it's just following them in before their respective elections, basically leading up to them and talking about their motivations, why they feel so strongly about running. And it's a document that's focusing on just anti-establishment and trying to change the establishment. But I'm not here talking about this movie alone. I'm here with Bradley. Introduce yourself, man.
Yes, hello, Bradley here. Also hailing from Canada to talk about American politics, because all the American critics are afraid to do so. What's up with that?
I have no idea. I'm a Canadian as well. We have no Americans on this podcast, so it's just going to be us. But I'll let you take the floor the first few minutes. What do you think of it?
Well, I think your brief summary is spot on. This isn't a documentary like we've seen in the past to trigger the left or the right and to push the supreme prosperities of said party. Of course, they are all four, as you said, are Democrats. So maybe a little biased. I just didn't see any, since all four of these Democrats desperately wanted change and still want change in not just the way the systems are set up or run, you know, party politicians pandering, a lobbyist buying elections, but for the day-to-day life of, say, any American citizen to be better. And I think that's where it shines. Not only does it show these four women as individuals and people, you know, so many of these documentaries fall into the pratfalls of these women or these men having a destiny about them and that they were sent for a higher purpose. No, all four of these women are day-to-day people. I wouldn't say average Joes, because many of them are accomplished in education as well as civil services. But
That's the thing. Like, I would actually kind of go, they are really average, because they focus on Alexandria Cortez, or as everyone else calls her, AOC, and Cori Bush, of like, they are working, they are literally the working class, and it focuses a lot on trying to showcase them in the working place. Like, we see her a lot at her job, and it kind of threw me off. I'm like, wait, why is she kind of doing like normal stuff? I thought she was a politician. Oh, because she's not. She's someone that's had to kind of focus and work on it. And I think at worst, this is kind of a fluff piece, because it's basically fluffing up without showing any of the negatives. It's all positives of these four women, that they have their own motivations for why they want to go into politics. And a lot of the times, it's because not so much just anti-establishment for anti-establishment's sake, but because the people that are currently in charge have been there for like decades and have not helped the people at all. They keep saying, yeah, they're millionaires. They all care about money. All they care about corporate handouts. And that's what this documentary focuses a lot, is how kind of fucked up how fucked up politics has become when people are just focusing on the money and as opposed to trying to help people. All they care about is focusing on the next election. And all four of these women, they're like, yeah, none of us might not win. None of us might not get in. But we have to at least try, because if we don't, no one else is going to try.
Right. And I do think that is a very resounding message that can, you know, that can be for anybody. And that's what I enjoyed about it. Because, you know, the best battles in life, in history, and in our day-to-day struggles are the ones that we lose. And that sucks. But that's how you grow as a person, and that is how we inspire others to change for the better.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. And I think that's a lot of what they ended up focusing on. Because this is mostly on Alexandria Cortez, about her struggle, because she starts off the movie, she continues throughout the movie of just going there. But what I liked about it is the other people, too, they go into a lot of heartfelt kind of why they got into politics. And it's basically to try to show, it's like, yeah, the world of politics is now changing. The world is changing. We're no longer getting these people that are just these thoroughbred white men that are lawyers of like, well, I know the law, I'm going to be a politician. We have these people that are basically activists, these people that will be at the head of a protest, that'll be trying to do these changes in the nonprofit organization, moving into politics because they're able to do more change. But, and the thing is they get so many different people. What I actually love about the documentary is they get so many people that are working in these sectors going, the deck's stacked against us. Everything's right against us. We're ice skating uphill where it's like, we have to basically learn the system so well because the people in charge are just going to manipulate it. It's like when we see so many of the movies back in the day in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s of politics are always like, oh man, all we got to do is, you know, shoot a few people here and there and they'll solve the problem. It's actually surprisingly much darker now because the law is on the side of the people that want to get rich. The people that are in charge, like I think they're talking about Joe Crowley for New York. It's like, he just uses the law. He doesn't need to do anything slimy. He doesn't need to fucking attack or use violence. He just uses the law. And that's what a lot of this showcases is how difficult it is to live when you're fighting the law. Like, in order to get in, they have to fight loopholes. They have to fight these fucking people that are just abusing the law to get their own personal gain. So you start to feel for every one of them. You're like, I hope every one of them gets into office because we need people that are willing to not take fucking bribes.
Yeah, it's sad that that's the ideal that not many people believe is possible. But that's why, you know, as you said, it's kind of a fluff piece, but also very necessary to have people who want change for the better to run. Crowley, you mentioned, they said he went unopposed for 14 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to bash anybody here, but who wouldn't be complacent after that much time of just no opposition and no desire and no job satisfaction even. You just come into work and sit unopposed 14 years. That's insane.
Yeah, and he's been in office for twice that. It's just nobody ran for him because, again, once you become entrenched for a while, everyone's like, well, we know this guy. We know this guy forever. That's why it's so difficult to kind of get people into these positions, especially new people, especially as they pointed out, people of color trying to get into these positions because, like, hey, we've seen Joe Crowley for 30 years. That's longer than some of the voters have probably been alive.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait, who's this new person?
No, and I really enjoyed the points they brought up of why they're running. You know, it's sad, sad times in the political climate because it's kind of been turned into entertainment news. And to see so many people on TV like, what about the billion-dollar corporations? Do we really want to take 2% from them just to make people feel better? And it's like, kind of, you know? Do they need what's 2% of $200 billion? Oh, a fixed economy.
About 20 million.
Yeah. So
give or take.
Yeah, I mean, I have a ton of tiny violins, and I must say I don't really bring them out for billionaires complaining about a 1% tax against them. So
yeah, and I think that's what a lot of people, especially like young, because these women are on the young side. No, they're not like, you know, fucking teenagers, but they're right. They're young adults. I think like, you know, 28, 30, 35, like They're on the younger side compared to a lot of times we see politicians is graying individuals. And a lot of the new people, especially now, since we have so much access to technology, they're able to kind of research better. They're able to do analytics better. They're able to kind of do background better. And you see that because, like, they are attacking Alexandria Cortez throughout this entire documentary. Yeah. And she is just fighting back. Like at one point during a debate, Joe Crowley goes, well, hey, weren't you at this club that was done by this one asshole that cut up some woman's face? And she goes, no, I was at the only fucking, like, Latino club, you asshole. Yeah. She knows how to deal with these people. It's like this generation of people growing up with internet trolls has gone to the point where we know how to deal with this shit to a certain degree.
Oh,
where we know how to shit talk back. Yeah. And I love that a lot. Like, I want to see more of this stuff. I want to see more of it as it goes on. That's what I found really interesting about this documentary is, like, we get to see the internet culture start to affect the world now.
I think that, as you put it, she is so popular. And the blessing and curse behind that is, and no offense to old people, I'm one of these old people too that just got Twitter like 2 years ago, but she knows how to use Twitter and the current day-to-day technology. Anybody who watched that hearing with Mark Zuckerberg, it was painful because none of those old guys even knew. It sounded like they didn't even know how their computers worked. So I think youth is definitely necessary to inject some youth and some of that youth knowledge into today's current politics, just to save the world from like rotting, you know?
Yeah, because again, they're so stagnant. They're basically using the smear campaigns that was really popular back in the day. Because back in the day when they were first running, yeah, they knew they were the masters of the craft at the time. They knew how to use the media. They knew how to talk to people. They knew how to use the words. Joe Crowley uses a lot of Trump words like, oh, you know, immigration ban and Trump and this, that, because he knows buzzwords get the people that are sitting in the fucking room. Where Alexandria knows that you need the actual youth as well. That's why she's doing the videos. That's why she's working with younger people, because they understand the current marketing age. And I think that's really fucking important, because you need people that, one, understand how the fucking world works now, and two, aren't gonna like know that like corruption from corporations is causing problems. Like, she basically, almost her entire platform is like, hey, some people, Americans don't want a lot. They just want to fucking get by. That's all they want to do. They just want to get by. And you see that from all the other people too. Like, you know, Amy and Corey and all the other people, where it's like, yeah, we just want to show, we just want some representation. Because I think Corey Bush of Missouri is like, yeah, I just want to have some representation, because we have no representation at all.
No, and well, exactly. Yeah. And Corey Bush, who's a nurse from Missouri, served as a nurse. When she's bringing up healthcare, just as you said with the attack campaigns, they're like, well, what would she know? Her day-to-day job knows about the healthcare and how messed up it is. I mean, she seems overqualified to talk about healthcare, but all these idiots are like, can't people just die, you know? And it's a horrible stance, but it seems to be pretty popular somehow.
And especially, I believe it's Amy Viella. I think I'm mispronouncing her name, and I apologize for that. But her entire thing is that, her fucking daughter passed away because she couldn't prove that she had insurance. And it's like, that's something that's always been my personal thing. Because, again, we live in Canada. We do not understand this insurance bullshit, because we don't have to deal with this. Like, maybe dental, maybe, like, fucking optometry or physical care. But, like, we don't have to fucking deal with this shit. We live in a country right now. If you get shot, if you have a heart attack, whatever the hell, you walk right in, they deal with you, you walk out. No, nothing. I mean, you have to show proof that you exist as a person. You have to show your health card and ID, but that's it. You don't have to prove, you don't have to pay a dime. So hearing that there are people that are dying every single day because of something, like, because just doctors refuse to work, is something that's so foreign to us. And to hear politicians going, well, our country couldn't survive, I'm going, what are you talking about? We're fine. It's so mind-boggling. That's why I kind of wish we had an American on there, because, like, we cannot appreciate, we have no idea what it's like to have to fucking pay for healthcare. We do not. We just live our lives normally, and we it's so normal to us. But seeing her, especially the teary fucking response, is like, oh, that explains why she's so desperate to get into politics. And that's what I love, I think, the most about this, is you get a good sense of everybody that's working on this.
Well, yeah, and, you know, Alexandria Cortez, AOC, I like how she presents her positions, and then she shows the positions of Crowley, and all his positions are, vote Crowley, I hate Trump. And politically, yeah, that's pretty much the standard. You know, you say what you hate and you move on. But she was presenting change and what needed to be changed. And he was just, you know, a guy in a suit in an expensive magazine that you'd have to buy to even read or subscribe to. So
yeah, Victoria's Secret or some stupid shit? Like,
yeah, I didn't even know they still had those.
I knew they had those. I didn't think they put anything in there but besides, like, you know, models and shit. I didn't know they had fucking, like, old white politicians in the fucking, like, in the middle of it.
So you don't get the magazine for the articles then?
I fucking guess some people do.
But speaking of the healthcare issues, I was born in the States and I lived there until later adulthood. Me personally, I got kidney stones, man. In the States, I had insurance through my job, health insurance, dental. Feel the pain in my kidney like, oh, I'm about to pass a stone. So I would go to the drugstore, buy some Tylenol, and wait it out, you know?
Yeah.
Incredibly painful. Because I couldn't afford to deal with that at a hospital with proper drugs and care. I did once, and it was incredibly expensive, and we never went back. I came to Canada, you know, legally, of course, and got all my papers, permanent residency, lived here for a couple years. And now I don't have kidney stones at all because I had the surgery to get them removed. Total cost to me at the time was nothing. And I can't tell you how happy that makes me.
Yeah.
And people, again, you know, a politician listening to this would be like, oh, screw him. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what real cost he's paying to be healthy. Okay, you know, yell into the ether all you want.
We do. It's called the taxes we pay.
Yeah, like, I had kidney stones. I used to take Tylenol and bite on a rope for a good 24 hours to pass it in the States. Now I live in Canada and had a procedure. I have none. And that part of my life is now behind me. So I actually prefer that, you know, so.
You know, like, we're in the most heavily taxed place, one of the most heavily taxed places on the planet, but guess what? We see it more so, and I think that's what a lot of the new people, again, you know, Cori Bush, Amy, Alexander Cortez. I think that's at the end of the day, that's what this documentary is about. And I'll lead this into my final thoughts: is they see that this current regime is not helping. The current regime cannot continue, and they're trying their best. And they know that there's a chance they're not going to win. They know that there's a chance that they could all fucking lose, but they're willing to try because they need to show. And I think that's why this documentary is so important. Because it showcases that people are willing to try. Because I, at this point, like, I've given up on politics for a fucking decade at this point. Because I feel like nothing's ever going to change. That's been my stance forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And seeing this documentary, I'm like, okay, I'm glad that there are people that are willing to try. That are willing to go past these things. Because it's like, our generation needs more people that are willing to try. Because we have just been so disheartened with politics. So it's like, yeah, I'm glad. I hope more people watch the documentary. Because it is very, very well done. So I think I'll give it... 4 out of 5 failed white men as politicians.
Very nice. Well, I'm going to echo your thoughts. The youth out there, the listeners, even people who are older than that, I just want to say your health matters and your safety matters. Whatever your party views, if you're trying to make the world a better place through health and through safety, through being able to buy medicine without having to forego a mortgage payment or rent, then please run for office. You know, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about family and friends in the States saying, well, I had to put a lien on something so I could afford a toe removal. Silly exaggeration, I know. But with this documentary, I think, as you were saying, Alan, if you have the will and you have the hope, then go ahead and try, you know, as Yoda said, do or do not, there is no try. And even if you fail, people should know that you exist and that everyone out there who wants the world to be a better place exists. So yeah, these four women certainly are an inspiration, AOC being the most popular of them, of course, because she understands Twitter and because she's a winner. Follow in the footsteps of anybody who has a passion to elevate people through health and through emotional stability, and give this documentary a look. I give it 8 ballots out of 10 suitcases thrown in the river because they don't want those ballots counted.
Well said, well said.
Cynical ending, yeah.